This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نسأل الله تعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا. نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Praise be to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His forgiveness, guidance, and His mercy. We ask Allah, glory be to Him. And indeed, He has no partners. We ask Him for useful, beneficial knowledge and understanding, and for wide sustenance. And we ask Allah to accept our efforts and our deeds, and ask Him for His forgiveness. And we utterly depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed to Him is our goal and return. After sending peace and prayers on His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we resume with our third hadith, which we started last week, reported by an Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, radiallahu anhuma. Why do we say radiallahu anhuma?
Because it's the father and the son of those Sahabi.
Yeah, anhuma is dual. We're saying may Allah be pleased with them both. Because we're saying Ibn Umar, Abdullah Ibn Umar. So Abdullah is there and is the son of Umar. سمعت رسول الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصوم رمضان رواه البخاري ومسلم رواه البخاري ومسلم. This is the hadith we started last time. We talked a bit about Abdullah ibn Umar last time and the other Abdullahs and the other variations of the same hadith last time. And we came to then the issue of overview of the hadith of why it's said built on five, if you remember last time, for those of you here, and the idea of the building being built on the five. This is important to understand. And the building was our life. The way we live our lives is to be built on the five. Islam isn't just the five. Islam is what we build on the five, which are part of Islam. Last time I remembered, if I mentioned to you from the previous hadith, we'd already said that Islam and Iman cover each other in their meaning when they come alone in the Quran or Sunnah. Yeah, they incorporate the meaning of the other. So Iman includes in it these things we're mentioning here. Okay, and I'll mention that again. Islam includes in it Iman. And we have evidence of that, as I said last time. If you look at what it says first, after when the Prophet ﷺ built on five, what did he say? Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. That's Iman, isn't it? The Shahada is Iman. So it's already inside the definition of Islam, Buni al-Islam ala khamsin. And if you remember when we did the last hadith, that when we talked about the Jibreel hadith, when the Prophet was asked by Jibreel, Akhbirni an al-Iman, tell me then about Iman. And he mentioned, the Rasulullah mentioned about the articles of faith. أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. That's what he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم. The iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, the books, the messengers, the last day, and to believe in the qadr. The good of it and the bad of it. The good of it and the bad of it. And we said in one hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the hadith we mentioned with the previous hadith, and I want to mention it again because it corroborates what I'm saying, is a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas, that a group from Abdul Qais, a delegation came from them to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. They said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, between us and you, there's a kuffar tribe, and we have to travel to you. Na'tika illa fi shahri haram, famurna bi am nukhbiru bihi. We have to travel through that group, so they find it dangerous and risky. So they're saying that, Ya Rasulullah, tell us something, advise us, teach us, that we can go and teach those who we've left behind from our tribe, from our people. In that hadith, the Prophet says, Abdullah Abbas says, so the Prophet taught them four things. أَمَرَهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَحْدَهُ. Four things to do with believing in Allah as one and only. The Prophet ﷺ said, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. He said to them, do you know what iman in Allah, the one, is? They said, as Sahaba used to say, اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمْ. Allah and His Messenger know best, because they want to hear from Him rather than them giving the answer. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, shahadati an la ilaha illallah. This is, he's saying, you know what iman is? Notice, didn't say Islam here. He said, shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa iqam as-salah, wa ita' as-zakah, wa sawm ramadan, wa tu'tu al-khums min al-ghanam. So he mentioned this in regards to iman. He said it is to declare that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And to establish the salah, to pay the zakat, and to fast in Ramadan, similar to this hadith here, what we're mentioning here. The only thing that's missing is Hajj from this. Okay? Hajj is missing from him. Because he's mentioned four things. He's missing some aspects of iman. And perhaps at this stage, when this delegation came, Hajj wasn't obligatory anyway. Hajj became obligatory later on in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All right. And to give, he mentions a fifth from the booty in warfare to Allah and His Messenger. That was something to do with that. But why I mention that hadith is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions iman and defines it by the same kind of things to show you that they have the same time. The other thing, which is important to understand actually, is that actually when it mentions Islam here, and that hadith mentions iman, the way to understand these pillars of Islam, the ibadat here is ibadat, is that they're actually part of iman. They're part of iman. What do I mean by that? When we look at the verses at the beginning of Juz number 2, سَيَكُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَنَّا وَلَّتِ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا, to do with the change of Qibla, and the foolish people of the time saying, why have they changed the Qibla from Bayt al-Maqdis to the Kaaba? At that time, when that happened, and it was implemented by Rasulullah and the Sahaba, some Sahaba said, oh, what about all the prayers that have been done before and those who died and they did their prayers to Bayt al-Maqdis? I wonder what will happen to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah will not let their iman go to waste. He said iman. All Mufassirun Sahaba agreed that was revealed at that time as Asbabun Nuzul, as the situation, cause of revelation for that part of the ayah. And what did iman mean there? Allah will not let their salah go to waste for that what was done toward Baitul Maqdis. He accepts it because that was the order at that time. So you see the word iman is being used for salah. For salah. And similarly, here, this hadith of the delegation mentions salah, zakah, fasting as under the category of iman. Actually, that's really the best definition. When we say, for example, if we look at Surah Al-Asr, wal asr, Allah taking oath by time, innal insana lafi khusr, surely all human beings are surely in a state of loss. Lafi khusr, it stresses it. Innal insana, in of course is a stress. Most definitely, surely, verily, human beings, all of them, lafi, la is here, is lam tawkidi, they say in Arabic, lam to stress, to say for sure, lafi khusr, are in state of loss. And Allah SWT says, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, except those who have iman and do righteous deeds. And that carries on. Salah, sawm, hajj, zakah are not in amilu salihat, by the way. They're in iman. Illa alladhina amanu. And amilu salihat is like saying what I said last week, Islam is built on five pillars. So the five pillars of the iman, amilu salihat, is you building the rest of your life and the good that you do to others, to the environment, in benefiting all that is around you. That is amilu salihat. That is amilu salihat. And that's the best understanding to have of that. Now, we come back to this. First thing, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Ash-shahadati an la ilaha illallah." Ala khamsi, and these five are, first, "Shahadati an la ilaha illallah." Shahada. What does shahada mean? Bear witness. How are witnesses used nowadays?
As evidence against them.
Witness. Witness, and we need to understand it like that. What's the witness for?
Establishing the truth of something.
Yes, because if you got
in a court.
Or anywhere, not even in a court, but in a court is the classical place, or you have a pact between two people, the idea is to get it signed and witness it. So the witness can say when they have a disagreement, yeah, this is how it was. Court, yeah? Somebody who's seen it, so that because they may be lying and not giving the full truth, the witness says, I saw it with my own eyes, I corroborate, this is what happened. Okay? That's the idea of a witness. Shahada here, and that's why it doesn't just come as to believe, but to declare, to witness. To witness. Shahada fi an la ilaha. It is to declare. It is to declare, and therefore, becoming Muslim is a declaration, isn't it? Before Allah, actually, you may be Muslim inside, we believe that. That's between God and each person, we don't point the finger and say, oh. But the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and what Allah requires from it is to say, to declare. So people become Muslim by declaring in front of others, I believe there is no God but Allah and Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Isn't it? That's what we understand from that. It's a declaration. So it is here and from the tongue as well. Yeah. And actually, as we discussed in the last hadith, more than that. And this is the debate of, is Islam and becoming Muslim just about declaration from the tongue, or is it more than that? And it is in the end. An interesting thing about the Shahada, isn't it? That actually, especially the non-Arab speaking, but also the Arab speaking, I find over the years, and I've been involved in Islamic Dawah for many years, alhamdulillah, with Allah's mercy. that how sometimes we misunderstand and we don't even understand the Shahada, actually. Those many people who call themselves believers and never even contemplated what I'm saying. Even many who pray, because we say it in the At-Tahiyyat, don't we? So the years we asked, many people didn't even know what they were saying in the Shahada, which is what makes a Muslim. Why? Why? And that's how we used it, you see, now, because we think it's some sort of magical formula in a foreign language that makes everything all right. So therefore, when somebody converts, embraced Islam, what I've seen over the years with some people in some mosques, not all, some mosques, they get the poor guy or the poor woman, say, because they feel that they can't become Muslim unless they say in Arabic. So they say, repeat after me, Ashhadu, or the guy struggle, Ashhadu, they can't pronounce it even. Yeah, because we have this idea, and they also feel sometimes, the convert, that they're saying some sort of magical formula which makes them Muslim. But actually what makes them Muslim is to understand what they're saying and declaring. What they're really saying, and get them to say it in English or Hungarian or German or Chinese or Russian or Spanish or French, whatever they come from. They need to understand here and here, I declare there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, but the one God, and I declare that Muhammad is the messenger of God. That needs to be said. That's what needs to be said with understanding. Actually, if somebody says Shahada in Arabic without understanding what they're saying, do they become Muslim?
No.
No. How? Yeah. You can just say it any old how. You don't know what you're saying. You don't mean what you're saying. So when you understand it from that point of view, you've got to say that the declaration, it won't be accepted. It won't be accepted. And the acceptance is not for you and me, with Allah. Because you didn't mean it. You know, I can get maybe any non-Muslim to say, this is how we care. How do you say it? And they say, is that how you say it? So have they become Muslim when they say it? No, they haven't. Because there's no volition, there's no meaning for them. They didn't declare. So that's very important to understand this declaration idea. And that's one aspect of it. And they don't have to do it in Arabic. This is not Salah. Some people say, okay, yeah, get them to do it in English, now get them to do it in Arabic as well. Because they're not proper Muslim because they haven't done it in Arabic. Come on. It's not Salah. Not Salah. Where there's the requirement for the Arabic. For the Arabic. This is not Salah, this is declaration. So it's fine, just that's how it is. To do it like that. For people, because we try and holify it as though it has to be in Arabic there. This is a declaration not to do with holifying anything. It's not a ritual worship aspect. Some people even do it in marriage contract, for example. They think they have to say in Arabic, yeah, Zawajtuka bi ibnati, and the person accept, I marry you to my daughter, so and so, and the person has to say in Arabic has to say Kabilt, ana kabiltu, I accept, and they say now that's a marriage, because we think again it's like a holy declaration. It's not. The person needs to understand, and the person who's marrying needs to understand from both sides who they're marrying. Are they marrying? Yeah, what do they mean when they say Qabil? He might have thought it meant something else. Yeah. So again, these ideas are in people's heads because of lack of understanding, really. Shahada, to bear witness. And really, it is more than just a declaration from the tongue, and that's why we need to understand it. That's why we need to understand it. For those born in Muslim families, perhaps needs to be woken up and prodded to understand it more than those who actually embraced Islam. Because those who embraced Islam came with their eyes and ears and hearts open. Isn't that the case, brothers and sisters? In case there's some sisters behind there still. They did come in. That's and yeah, perhaps and those who are born in Muslim family often out of laziness and just neglect, I haven't even really thought about it. What have I declared? What does it mean to be a Muslim? Because these words are so powerful. They have so much weight on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So there must be something more than just, you know, saying it perhaps once in a lifetime or never in a lifetime. If there's Muslim born in a Muslim family and they've never prayed, never done at-tahiyyat, then they've never said their shahada actually, never even thought about it. Probably. But it needs thinking about, because it makes a massive difference, the shahada, from person not believing in that and a person who believes in that. On Yawm al-Qiyamah. Massive difference. Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, a man will be brought on the day of judgment. And his deeds will be weighed on the mizan, on the scales. And his deeds, bad deeds, will be so heavy on the left scale, and it'll be like this. Okay? And the man will be very depressed and sad seeing this, because he knows where he's going. Then it will be said to him, the Prophet ﷺ said, we have for you a little bitaqa. It's called hadith bitaqa. Bitaqa means a little bit of card, small piece of card. My grandson's telling me he's heard it before. Yeah, I told you it a long time ago. The hadith of the card. And they said, and he says, oh, what's the little card going to do? Look at my scales. I'm doomed. So the card, Prophet, the little card will put on the scale on the right side and it'll go like that. And the Prophet said, do you know what is written on the card for him as good deed? They said, what, Ya Rasulullah? He said, Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So you want that kind of weight for your shahada, then it must have some weight in meaning and purpose. Yeah. So this declaration, it does have weight, brothers. It does have weight. And I go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in regards to shahada, and us bearing witness and declaration, our declaration is more than just the declaration of the shahada. Its meaning is wider and deeper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Thus we have made you a people, a nation, a wasat, wasatiyya, as the ulama say, of the middle path, the moderate path. So Mufassirun said that, others said wasat means the best people, yeah, because it's been used like that in language as well. The centermost people can be mean the balanced people. It can mean khayrun nas, the best of people as well. Wasat, we have made you an ummah of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying. Wasatali latakunu shuhada ala nas, so that you can be shuhada from the shahada, witnesses upon humanity. Latakunu shuhada ala nas. وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. As a messenger is a witness upon you. The messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and gave his witness. He gave his message. And that's why we know from authentic hadith in his final khutbah and the hajj, he said, have I given the message? And they said, yes you have. Have I delivered the message? They said, yes you have. And then he pointed up to Allah and them. He said, bear witness, saying to Allah, I've done my witnessing. And that's why he said to those gathered, let those who are gathered now pass on what I said to those who are not present. Yeah? So they became shuhada. And as it came to us, we become shuhada. Shuhada, those who bear witness. Those who bear witness. Shaheed, actually, is from the same root word. Yeah? Shaheed. But it's like saying, that is the ultimate witness. Yeah? It's not shahid, is shaheed. The ultimate witness. How are they ultimate witness? Why are they the ultimate witness? Remember, a witness is brought because they are absolutely certain that they've seen and heard, and they are brought as witness. The shaheed is the ultimate witness. They are willing to lay down their life to show that I'm 100% certain there is Jannah and Jahannam, and I'm willing to die for it to show you that I'm witness, ultimate. As though I've seen it. So that's the ultimate witness, isn't it? The one who says, take my life, if it means that.
It's the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, that is why it's shaheed. They are showing their witness, and the Prophet ﷺ is witness to the fact that that Allah is one, yeah? That Yawmul Qiyamah is haq, that Jannah is haq truth, that Jahannam is truth, that the Messenger are true, what they said, that the Quran is the truth, that Allah has no partners is the truth. This is all what we're bearing witness. And it's not just in words, he do it through his life and action, as the Sahaba did who followed him, and the Tabi'in who followed them, and all righteous people who followed in line who followed that. Isn't it? It is also that bearing witness, shuhada al-nas, to humanity, is, as the Sahaba were told, to now pass on to those others, our job inherent in the shahada of la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, is to share by our life example and our words and our interactions to those who haven't received the message. Part of that is the shahada. That's what that ayah means. Yeah? We made you an ummah of the middle path, the balanced ummah, nation, so that you can be witnesses to humanity. Hadith in Sahih Bukhari also mentioned in regards to that ayah that the Prophet ﷺ said on Yawmul Qiyamah, Nuh alayhi salam and his people will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Nuh, remember what state the prophets and messengers will be on that day. Nafsi, 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 my soul, my soul, my soul. Shaking in fear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the great messengers, all pointing people towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Nuh alayhi salam, imagine, he's asked, and he's done da'wah for 950 years to people. We think we've done a long time, if we've ever done any. He will be asked, Nuh, did you deliver the message to your people? He said, Ya Allah, yes I did. Then Allah will ask his people. They will say, no messenger and warner came to us, Allah. Blatantly lying. No messenger and warner came to us. So Nuh alayhi salam is asked again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. You heard what they're saying? Have you got anybody as witness that you delivered the message? What does he say?
Is it the Muslims?
Yeah, what does he say?
Allah is an eyewitness.
No, he doesn't actually. It's linked with the ayah. What does the ayah say?
The nation of Muhammad's son.
Yeah. He says, yes, I have witnesses. Muhammad and his ummah. Subhanallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See what your status is. See what our status is. On the day of judgment, we are brought as witness. So we will be asked, did Nuh alayhi salam deliver the message to his people? What will we say? Yes, he did indeed. How do you know? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us through the Quran. Revelation came through him. That's how we know. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will bear witness to the fact that what we're saying is true. Subhanallah. So that's linked with that ayah as well. But that is not limited to the hereafter. That's one aspect of being shuhada. That's fadila that's given to those people on the day of judgment of being ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if they do their role in this world, this ayah is similar to the ayah which in Surah Al Imran, which says, "Kuntum khayra umma, ukhrijat lin nas, ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah." You are the best of people, not full stop. You are the best of people brought out for the benefit of human beings. Brought forth for the benefit of human beings. Ukhrijat lin nas. How? Ta'muruna bil ma'roof. You stand for that which is ma'roof, just, good, truthful. You stand for it. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. Why you stand against all that which is evil, bad, wrong. You take a stance by your behavior, by your words, by the way you interact with people in society. You're exemplifying that. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Why you believe in God? So that's the same thing. Yeah. So shahada, this shahada has a much deeper and profound meaning. That's why it's so powerful, that from becoming a non-Muslim, a disbeliever, a kafir, you become a Muslim. One who submits. It's a big thing. Yeah. It's major in that regard. Ask those who converted to Islam, actually. Yeah. How major it is. Isn't that so? Yeah. How profound it is. Ask them. And we, who need reminding of that. We need reminding of that. In case we've forgotten over the generations and over the dust that settled on our hearts, to be revived and to be woken up to that. Allah ilaha illallah. To declare that there is no God but Allah. What does that mean? To declare there is no God but Allah. Yeah. Ilah. The ilah aspect of Allah is that we don't serve and worship and submit to anyone else except God. So if my culture, if my desire, yeah, if stars in the world, if anything is pulling me in the direction away from what God wants from me, I turn from it and I come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has the priority. Allah is worthy of worship. I associate no partners with Allah. La ilaha, it starts with, it's interesting. I've said it over the years many times. Isn't it interesting that the declaration of Muslim begins with an amazing word? What's the first word? No. Subhanallah. You've got to have backbone to say no. Isn't that so? Isn't it so that the party of Shaitan, wherever they have been in the world, and whatever time and place, even now, the most awkward people they find overcoming are Muslims. And they say it. And the ones they really want to get rid of in the world, because they're the ones who say no. Their declaration tells them to say no straight away. So, I mean, you're going to have a hard time with somebody saying no to you straight away. I'm not going to take you with a God. No. No God. No, subhanAllah, it's revolutionary. It's revolutionary. But it's to revolution the mind and the heart to slavery to none but to God Almighty. Yeah. Who is the God of all those around as well. But we're not going to be slaves to you. We're not going to bow down to any king or queen. We didn't even bow down to our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of creation. Did we? He stopped us from bowing down to him. So why are we going to bow down to any king or queen? Tyrannical or not? We say no. I only bow down to God. Because that's a symbol of my submission only to him. So it's profound. No God. No God. No God in culture. No, whether it's my culture from the Arab continent, Iranian continent, Indian continent, European continent, Russian continent. Not that no God in culture just because it's Europe and they're white people now, but Indian culture, that's all right. We have this mentality as well. Yeah? We're all right with watching Bollywood films because they're in Urdu. might be more fahisha there, and there usually is. But English films, Hollywood, we had to have, not saying the mentality is there now, but honestly, in the 70s and 80s, that's the kind of mentality. With many people. They were holified because of language, and they were wearing shalwar kameez, you see, so. Muslim dress. Actually, they were wearing it before Islam came there. Yeah, but at least they were a bit more modest in the shalwar kameez that they were wearing. Nowadays, God help us, what's happening? So, culture, any culture that goes against what our beliefs are, we have to, and this is called istiqamah. Istiqamah comes inherently from the Shahada, brothers. Does it not? Istiqamah means actually standing, having, I would best describe it as having backbone. So stand your ground. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Surely those who declare, they say, our Lord is Allah. And then they have istiqamah, and they have backbone, then they stand on that. In other words, they show it in their life. It's not just words and hot air. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then angels come down. تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. If we want angels to come, to give us glad tidings, yeah, in the hereafter, or to support us now, then we must have istiqamah first. Yeah, some backbone. Stand your ground. Yeah, don't falter. Don't falter. So, La ilaha illallah. Profound. No God, but the one God. No God for us to submit, to bow down to worship, to turn to follow His laws. Yeah, what He sent, except the one God. The one God. And that, you know, sometimes, and remember, when we say no God, that Shaitan's going to interfere. And Shaitan doesn't always interfere with something that's so profound and big, you know, the challenge of a tyrant ruler, or, you know, big things in custom or culture. Shaitan works, and when that La ilaha illallah comes in, is when he works on the desires inside. He says, just have a drink. They're having it, your mates are having it. Alcohol, it's alright. All these Muslims going around saying, it's no big deal. Having a spliff or whatever they call it, yeah, or taking some other drugs or something. Their mates are doing it, they're Muslims as well. So you might as well join in as well. Otherwise they won't be part of your mates, you know. They'll laugh at you when they do. Say, oh, look at this square geezer. He's not into any of this, thinks he's so holy and pure. Or they're all going out with girls nowadays. It's fashion. What, you haven't got a girlfriend? What? You haven't got a girlfriend? What? Something wrong with you? Yeah? And this is where La ilaha illallah comes as well. And people forget this. No God. No God. I'm not going to follow this. God's told me to stay away from this. So La ilaha illallah has profound effect. Yeah? And there are things to remind us of that constantly. The most of all, as we'll see, the first thing to remind us is Salah. And it comes straight after Shahada, doesn't it, for that reason. Because it's going to be a constant reminder for you, to help you to have that backbone. And that's why it's part of Iman. Why it's part of Iman, of belief. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And surely to declare that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad is the messenger. He's so important because it's a more recent thing. More recent thing, not something that's really been known amongst Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah from centuries gone by. People never started questioning this, but ignorant people started questioning more in the last century or so about the Sunnah, about the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in authentic hadith, as though it wasn't important. And I mentioned this last time briefly as well. People who think that Quran is enough for us. Quran is enough for us, we don't need hadith. There's all kinds of hadith. Yeah, there is. But the science of hadith from Sahaba's time till this day has clarified where the nonsensical ones are and where the honest ones and the truthful ones are. Very early on, it's been done centuries and centuries ago. Started being done from Sahaba and Tabi'in time. Corroboration of that, and we can tell that. So to get rid of that would be to get rid of Muhammad Rasulullah. Actually, you may as well get rid of it. Just say, la ilaha illallah, and chop that off. But it has not been chopped off. It can't be chopped off. Yeah. And those who want to do that, and I say that they, and they call themselves Quraniyun actually, which is really strange. The Quraniyun, because they think we're the followers of the Quran. So what are we then? What are we following? If the Quran is telling you to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so I say to them, they are not Quraniyun at all. And they've in their disrespect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have removed him like a decaying tooth out and thrown it away. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you in so many places, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ. To the Prophet ﷺ, the Quran says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ لِتُبَيْنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We are sent down to you, in the singular. إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ. He's not talking to you and me. The Quran is saying, Allah is saying, we have sent down to you, O Muhammad ﷺ, the reminder. For what purpose? لِتُبَيْنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So that you can explain to humanity, all humanity, what has been sent down to them. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So perhaps they can reflect and ponder. Now, did he need, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only explain to Sahaba? And we're so brilliant. Sahaba needed explanation. Tabi'in needed explanation. Tabi'in needed explanation from the hadith and statements of the Prophet. But we're so arrogant, we don't need his explanation. We can go straight to the Quran and we can work it out for ourselves. Just think about that. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Now, I only need to give you that ayah is enough evidence to smash those who come with that stupid idea. وَمَا آتَكُمُ الرَّسُولَ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. Whatever he forbids you from, stay away from it. The Quran says. Quran has to be the evidence to show you that the sunnah is what's needed. Because you can't use a sunnah as evidence to argue with such people. It has to be the Quran because they claim they believe in the Quran. So I'm telling you, the Quran is saying this to you. Where are you going to put it? Some said, oh, that verse came in regards to war booty. And at the end of it, it said, if he gives you from the war booty, take it. If he stops you. No. The context may be there. But the ayah, this is the principle of understanding the Quran. It comes in general sense. He wasn't doing it only in warfare. All of the lives of Sahaba is absolute par excellence example of them. Whatever he told them to do, they did, and what he said, don't, they didn't. They weren't arguing with him there, left, right, and center, saying, no, we're not going to do it. Where do you find that? Ever. So this is a general statement. وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. Is that just for Sahaba? Are you not a believer? And you say you follow the Quran? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, atiu Allah, obey Allah, wa atiu Rasul, and obey His Messenger. How are you going to obey His Messenger? You say you're following just the Quran. How are you obeying Him? Because His instructions are not there. They're in the Sunnah. Wa atiu Rasul, wa ulil amri minkum. Those ulama of knowledge amongst you. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And if you'd have a dispute in any issue, تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, then return it back to Allah and the Messenger. How do you return it back to Allah and the Messenger? You can't have a conversation with God directly now, can you? This verse is for all time to come. So how do you return it back to Allah and His Messenger? What does it mean? Return the argument back for clarification to the Quran. And His Messenger, how? To the Sunnah. You're not going to ask the Prophet now directly. Hadith. Because it's already said, yeah, obey people of knowledge and ulama. They're the ones who are going to return it back to Allah and His Messenger. to find more detail, more clarification of the issue that they're facing. Yeah? If you are believers in Allah and the last day, then do this. Subhanallah. There's no escape from it. There's no escape from it. And there's many other verses and also a hadith to corroborate that idea and the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as part of the Shahada. As part of the Shahada, subhanAllah, part of belief actually is requires, it's not just verbal, is it? Because actually it requires love. It requires love. Yeah. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ I'll come to that one later, but another verse which says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, say, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِ, then follow me. This is coming from the mouth of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The verse is being said through him. فَاتَّبِعُونِ, and follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. All forgiving, most merciful. And the other verse in the Quran, I'm just, amongst people are those who love others besides Allah as they should love Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Whereas those who believe, they are even stronger in their love for Allah. Stronger in their love. So iman actually means love. There's a quality of it. It's not the declaration. Is much, you can see from the very fact that it requires love of Allah. Not just verbal profession and then make a joke of it. Love of Allah, love of His Messenger. Why the Prophet ﷺ also said, La yu'minu ahdukum. La yu'minu ahdukum hatta yakuna ahabba ilayhi. Hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. None of you truly believes as this iman until I become more loved to them than their parents, than their children, than all of humanity put together. So this is the Prophet ﷺ. That is part of the Shahada when we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That he's the messenger of Allah. And actually, In that Shahada, all the rest of the articles of faith that we say are six to do with messengers, believing them. Believing in Prophet means believing in the messengers. Yeah? It's inherent in the Shahada. Believing in the book is inherent in believing in Allah and His Messenger because He brought the Quran. And the Quran tells you about the previous messengers and the books. It means believing in angels, inherent in the Shahada. It's already there. The belief in angels, because Jibreel is the one bringing revelation, and the link between Allah and the Messenger was Jibreel. Alayhi salam. Is that also? So believing Malaika is there. Believing in Allah means Yawm al-Qiyamah is already there. Belief in Yawm al-Qiyamah and Qadr, all intertwined in belief in Allah and His Messenger. So Shahada actually incorporates all the articles of faith in it anyway. But they are clarified further in the Quran and Sunnah.
So, do these people you're talking about earlier, the Quran people, whatever, do they not believe they're the Ummah as well, the Prophets as well? So do they not believe they're part of the Ummah?
Yeah, they do.
He's an Ummah.
They do. They claim all that. They claim that.
You can't claim that and not look
it. It's a movement that started in India, Pakistan. The Parvezis, they called themselves that. And there was some in the Middle East as well, more recently. More recently, you've got people who are ignorant of Hadith. So it's a movement that's catching more in academia kind of circle. Muslims involved in universities here in the West, in Europe and America, they fall for this kind of thing. Because they see hadith like gospels, and I've explained to you before many times that it's nothing more nonsensical than comparing hadith to gospels. It's absolute nonsense. And when they come out with that idea, then they go down this dangerous road. So now, here we have then Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying after the declaration of Iqam al-Salah wa Ita al-Zakah wa Sawmi Ramadan wa Hajj al-Bayt wa Sawmi Ramadan. I'm thinking whether I should finish this within 10 minutes, not going to, or whether I should leave it till the next session. Finish. What's the hadith finished? Yes. Oh, you won't be finished now?
9 o'clock is the Isha.
I know, I've got tajweed to do. We can do the tajweed lesson. I wanted to do 20 minutes before Isha for the tajweed lesson as well.
Stop at logical point.
Hey?
Should stop at logical point.
Yeah. Anyway, what we've covered so far, we'll give you time for question and answer. I'll leave those things. Because I want to mention with each thing something about their obligation, and it'll take a bit of time, because some people actually have questioned about Salah, for example, and they say that it is not obligatory 5 times a day. Mm-hmm. Alright, so I want to deal with that issue next time, inshallah. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things get peddled around, okay, and you need to be aware of it, because mm-hmm. They may be at a distance, but they may come close to home, because these people then get the ideas on the internet, and then children, if it's not our own children, grandchildren will see it, and you'll be facing it, I assure you, you will, mm-hmm. as we face all kinds of ideas that people pick up. Mm-hmm. So we need to be aware of where this mm-hmm. idea comes from and what is the counter to it, inshallah. But we'll deal with it next time. I left you last time with the idea, our 5 daily prayers made obligatory from the Quran. And I'll still leave you with that.
Okay. Surah Rum mentions it in 2 places.
I will deal with all those verses. Yeah. But I assure you, it is not in the Quran.
It's not in the Quran.
100%. Some people try to say, some of us don't try to say, but they're really stretching it to try and... The obligation of Salah is in the Quran. The obligation to pray 5 times a day only comes from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sunnah. And that's why do I say it? Because that's why Sunnah is so important.
Yeah.
That's why I say to those people who say Quran and Yun, and that's why some of them actually pray 3 times a day. They even broke the very ijma of the Ummah, and it's very clear that prayer for Muslims is 5 daily prayers, not 3 times a day. Okay? That's the best they can get from the Quran, actually. Anyway, questions on what we've covered today in 5 minutes.
On the hadith that we mentioned about the man whose deeds will be weighed.
Yes.
And his bad deeds are high, and then his shahada goes into the other scale. I can't remember the whole hadith now, but my understanding was that the inference was that he didn't have much of good deeds. But it was said to him, "Would you have something with us, which is the Shahada?"
Mm.
So what I wanted to ask was that if somebody has strong iman, such that it's going to weigh heavily on the scale, would we expect that to manifest itself in his limbs and his good actions?
It is true. And therefore, any hadith like that mustn't be taken out of context. The idea of that isn't do as much bad as you want, you've got the shahada, you'll be fine on the day. And I've explained that in many sessions before to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving an example, really, to show you how heavy the shahada is. Yeah, his belief. I can give you hadith of people who didn't even believe in God, and Allah forgave them. Yeah, so Allah will... We have from hadith examples of people who can be forgiven that we can't imagine.
Mm.
Yeah. But we're not going to go down that road because they were forgiven. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, the great Sheikh al-Islam, he mentioned hadith. He said, how can I point a finger at any particular individual, however bad they are? Because as all ulama of knowledge agreed, including him, that we are not able to say about any shakhs mu'ayyan, particular person, kuffar included, yeah, that this person is going to hell. Because the Prophet ﷺ warned us about that, actually, from doing that. He said, so Ibn Taymiyyah said, and there's another hadith, I haven't got time, let me mention this one first. Ibn Taymiyyah, how can I say about any particular person? What he's saying is, we are not in a position to be judged on behalf of God. Leave it to Allah. But how can I say it? Because on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said, a man will be brought before Allah. What was this man? This man didn't do he said to his family before he died, he hadn't done any iota of good deed. So he said, when I die, my children, my family, burn my body, scatter half my ashes on the sea and half on the land. That's what he did. And that's what they did. So on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will bring all those ashes that were scattered, everything back together and form him again and resurrect him and say, why did you do that? He said, Ya Allah, we're scared of your punishment. So Allah forgave him. That is a lesson from that, isn't that you and I go and do that, is it? That's showing the vastness of Allah's mercy and that He is going to judge in the end, not you and me. But our instructions, our guidance has been given from Allah and His Messenger.